Hello, everyone, and welcome to minute 97 of season 10 of Move Around Minute, the daily podcast where we hijack our way through the 1974 action thriller, The Taking of Pound 123, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is John Parker of the Bat Minute. Welcome back, John.
Hello, thanks for having me.
I didn't realize that Batman was showing up on Friday.
Oh yeah, I've got connections.
That's good. That's good. Which Batman are you?
All of them.
Yeah, no, but the voice that you're doing, which one is it?
Generic Batman. It's just any.
No, because I think that the deep sounding voice makes it seem to me, at least, that is closer to the Nolan, Batman. But I could be wrong.
Oh yeah, sometimes Christian, but like, I love Christian Bale, but sometimes his voice, it gets to the point of like, man, you're trying too hard. Dial it back a little bit.
Yeah, but he's still one of the best, among the best. How's that?
Oh, he is, absolutely. Yeah. I wouldn't argue with that.
You know, I mean, I'm assuming you guys have already ranked all of your Batmans. And knowing you guys, you probably enjoy the animated ones best.
I think Niall genuinely does. I don't. I grew up loving Tim Burton, so they're usually my two. But I thought the newest one, The Batman, I want to say that's probably the best one.
Really?
I love it. It was so, oh yeah, it was so like the comics.
Wait,
we're
talking about
the
movie, or we're talking about the character of Batman? Which are you referring to?
The movie, The Batman.
Okay. I was referring to the actor playing Batman. That's what I was referring to. But
yeah, but no, I think Robert Pattinson's the best at portraying the comic book character.
Really?
It's exactly like the comics that we were covering. It was crazy. It's like, oh my, this is exactly what we've just been going through, you know?
Yeah. Aren't they making another one with him? Isn't someone the
yes,
one supposed to be
yes,
coming out?
It's finally getting written now. They've took their time with it, which is a good thing. But it's not shooting yet or anything. I presume they're going to shoot it here in Liverpool again. They just shot one of the spin-off movies they're doing, the Clayface movie. They shot that here, so I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's interesting.
So
all right.
When we if they start shooting, we can let you know, because we're going to try and sneak onto the set.
That would be very cool. I mean, sneak onto the set.
We couldn't do it last time.
In order to get there. In order to be
yeah,
on.
Yeah. That would be cool. If we could be like an extra, that'd be good. We couldn't do it last time because it was COVID. So if you got anywhere near the set, you were sort of like kicked out. You know.
Interesting. Yeah, I never thought about that from that perspective.
Yeah, they kept you miles away.
Well, too bad for you guys.
Yeah, we're trying to get the scoop.
Yeah, but and what do you think about the what is it, the TV series, The Penguin, that they did?
Oh, it was so good. It had no right being that good. I'm not even a big gangster sort of person. Hence why, you know, I said in the last episode, I'm not a huge Godfather fan. It's not that it's bad. It's just like, it's not my kind of thing. So I went into The Penguin thinking, it's not going to be that great. It turned out to be one of the best shows in years.
Wow. I still haven't seen it. I need to find time to sit and watch that. I'm too busy watching, you know, movies like this.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that either, though.
So minute 97 begins with Garber knocking on the door and ends with Latimer shrugging them off. So we ended things yesterday with Garber and Rico showing up looking for this guy named Nathaniel Musket. And, you know, they're standing in front of the door, or on both sides of the door, both a little apprehensive I mean, you can see that Rico's a little bit concerned. You know, he looks a little scared. I mean, these are not field guys.
No, I don't get the vibe that they're used to just like going and talking to people like this, you know?
No, not at all. You know, maybe Garber, but definitely not Rico. Because Rico
No.
really, the way that he that his face is scrunched up when they're getting ready to do this is a little strange.
Well, that's
I
a
mean,
completely different skill set to what he normally needs, you know?
well, he just usually makes phone calls, try and find out, try to whittle down the number 78 to 9. You know, that's what he usually
Yeah, he
does.
doesn't normally have to go and talk to those nine.
He has to go take care of cantaloupes. You know, they knock on the door, and we hear from the other side of the door, "Who's there?" And he goes, "It's the transit police. We're here just a minute." And then the door opens up, and there's a guy in a wheelchair. And he goes, "What do you want?" First of all, did you take a look at like his wheelchair and you know what he has on the wheelchair with him?
Yeah, it's crazy. I've never seen a chair like this. Is it normal for the era, maybe?
I don't know. I don't know. He's got a mug. He's got like pens or maybe brushes. Maybe he's a painter. I don't know. He's got books.
Oh,
He's got
yeah.
a book on his lap. He's got a book on the side. You know, it's like he's very mobile and is able to do whatever he needs to do here, and obviously not go rob a train. But
Well,
other than
you
that,
say that, right? But I
it's
actually think they're not doing their job properly here, because I know, right? We know that this guy's not faking as a viewer, but they should still check him out a little bit more. You never know. There could be any kind of thing going on here. Plus, they don't know that the hijacker was, you know, he could have a fake leg, and it's not like the hijacker needed to be particularly mobile.
true. And at this point, they know that they
So,
beat the dead man switch. They know how they beat it and all that stuff.
yeah.
So, you know, it doesn't have to be that the and wait, unless the driver needs both feet.
It's possible. It's possible. But I think it's more about weight, isn't it? And if he had a fake leg, that would provide some weight.
Maybe.
So I don't know.
Okay.
Because he could have just took the fake leg off, thrown it under the bed. Oh, look, okay. I know, again, we know it's not him, but
Right.
they should check him out. They should at
Because
least go in and
he
talk to
doesn't
him.
have a fake mustache.
Yeah. You know, this chair, he could have all this stuff on to like exaggerate. Oh, look at that. I have to have all this hanging off my chair because I can't get around. Or, you know, he could be just putting it on.
That's right. Exactly. But again, it's interesting that they're showing us so much about this character. You know you know they're not just showing us a guy in a wheelchair. They're showing us more than that. They're showing us a guy in a wheelchair who seems, I guess, self-sufficient within his within his apartment, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
You know, I think that that's probably the best way to do it. I mean, to wait, looking at the credits in the movie, you can't figure out even on IMDb who this actor is. You know, it made me very curious
Wow.
to try and figure out who this is.
Oh, that's crazy.
You know, to see if this is. Oh wait, no, there is a guy named Muscat. There you go. Okay, he's just named Muscat. That's why. Okay, so it's an actor named Gene Gross, who was born in 1920 and died in 1989. He was also in Serpico and Network. He was in a total of nine movies during his career.
Oh.
This fits. This is the movie right in the middle. You know, you have four before and four after. So he was 54. This guy does not look 54. He does look older than that. But you know, we've talked about the
He
fact that
does.
people look older back then.
Oh
You know,
God, no, they really do. Sometimes you see someone who looks like I think, oh, they must be older than me. You know, I'm like 40 almost. I'm like, oh, they must be older than me, and you find out they're like 22. You're like, what?
I'm 50. I'm almost 52, and there's no way this guy is 2 years older than I mean, he doesn't look 2 years older than I am. You know, that's the thing that gets me.
They lived hard lives then, you know.
Apparently, I mean, even the old man on the train, he's played by an actor who was 60 at the time, but he looks like he's in his 80s.
No.
Yeah.
He looks like an old man.
That's right. 100%.
That's nuts. I also think this guy looks a little bit like he's got like a look of Robert De Niro as well.
Okay, maybe. I think I could sort
I
of
can
see
see
that.
it. Like, yeah, like if you told me that was like his relative, I'd be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, but again, I'm not able to find out. I would love. I want to find out. Like, was he an amputee in all of these movies? Is this fake? You know, there's like all these different questions that I'm now asking myself about Gene Grow.
Exactly, which is what the cops should be asking themselves about the character.
That's right.
Because yeah, is he? We need to know. Is he actually an amputee? That would be interesting to find out.
Right, I
Maybe
mean,
he's been
we have to
like
go and watch Serpico. He played the captain in Serpico. If he played the captain,
Oh, they.
I gotta rewatch Serpico, but I don't remember the captain being in a wheelchair. Maybe he was.
No.
I don't know.
I can't remember. I mean, you would think, well, a captain needs to be mobile, but I suppose technically the character could always be behind a desk. I don't remember what the character does in that.
Yeah, I don't know. I have to relook at Serpico to figure that one out. And also, he was in Network. You know, I don't
Yeah.
know.
Interesting,
No,
interesting. You can do a
yeah.
side podcast just going into his movies.
Well, there's only nine of them, so it'll be a
Yeah.
little easier.
Short season.
Yes, very much, very much. So I decided to look up the. First of all, do you know what you call someone who is missing one leg?
Oh, is there a separate name for it when it's only the one leg? No, I don't know.
Okay, it's a uniped. It's a person with only one foot or leg. And then you have there's obviously biped and quadruped. Biped is all of us, you know, with two legs, and quadrupeds are animals with four legs. You know,
So what's one?
one is uniped. There you go.
Oh wow. Okay. It literally just follows that
Yeah.
pattern. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So I also decided to look up the list of I guess famous people who are amputees. And the list here is pretty interesting because it's not only people missing a leg. You know, like you have the Def Leppard drummer Rick Allen. You know, who
Yeah.
only has one arm, but he still can drum.
It's crazy to me that it's amazing because drumming like looks like the hardest thing in the world at the best of times. And somehow he pulled it off. I don't know what his setup is. I think he's got like a special kit, hasn't he?
Exactly. Jerry Garcia was missing two-thirds of his middle finger.
Ooh.
Waylon Jennings, the country music legend, had his foot amputated in 2001
Oh.
due to diabetes, but he died a year later. I guess that didn't really help him that much.
It's a shame.
Frida Kahlo, the Mexican painter. There was a movie about her with what's her name? Can't remember her name right now.
I think I know which one you mean. I'm trying to think now.
Salma Hayek.
Yes,
Right.
yes.
So she had her leg amputated because from gangrene.
Oh no.
Yeah. Zsa Gabor, when she was 94 years old, lost her leg, was had her leg amputated due to also the same type of things. She had an infection, so they had
Oh.
to cut that off.
Oh, that sounds horrible. I know of one because I'm a big nerd wrestling fan. I know Kerry Von Erich, the wrestler, he had his foot amputated, or was it his leg? I think it was like the lower half of his leg, and he didn't tell anyone, so he carried on wrestling with one foot. And he just had like a fake foot to fill the boot out. And somehow he could still wrestle. It was insane.
That's just
He only
crazy.
told like a couple of people, and it was like nobody knew.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, I didn't know.
Yeah, it's wild. There's a good movie about that family. What was it called? I think it was called Iron Claw.
Oh, I didn't like that.
I liked it. I liked it because it's all mostly true. I mean, some people complained it wasn't true enough because there's another brother who also died, and they're just not in the movie. But apparently, it was like, well, because we're already asking people to be incredibly upset about multiple deaths, we didn't want to throw in another one. That's what they said.
Right.
People wouldn't believe it, even though it was true, you know.
Oh, wow. Trying to see who else is on this list that's worth the well, you have someone named Tom Whitaker, who was the first person with a disability to climb Mount Everest, who he was missing a foot.
Oh, wow.
I mean, obviously there's Terry Fox. I remember as a kid watching the movie The Terry Fox Story. But Terry, do you remember who Terry Fox was?
I think so. I can picture someone in my mind.
Right,
I
so
can just.
he lost his leg to cancer and decided that he was going to walk across Canada.
That's it. Yeah, I've looked him up. Yes, I have seen, I think, a documentary about this, but or it was on YouTube, like a YouTube documentary.
They have those also.
Oh, I know. Didn't what's his face, Scotty from Star Trek, didn't he like have
Yes,
missing
he's missing his middle
fingers?
finger. He's missing his
Yeah.
middle finger, which apparently in every single episode of Star Trek, they had to make sure that the cameras didn't show that.
Yeah, that's.
And I remember reading somewhere it's because they didn't want people to believe that in the future they don't have a way of reattaching limbs or creating fake limbs, stuff
I
like that.
actually liked that, yeah, because initially when I found out, I was like, oh, that's a bit upsetting that they wouldn't show that, you know. But then when I thought about it, I was like, ah, wait, but the Star Trek future, they want us to believe they can just like fix and cure anything. And that would be part of that. So I kind of get it as well.
Right, and the last person on this list is Aaron Ralston. Do you remember who Aaron Ralston is?
No, off the top of my head, no.
They made a movie about him called 127 Hours.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Starring James Franco.
Yes, I
The
remember that.
guy
This
who
was
basically
the
had to amputate
climber
his
or
own arm.
whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
He was trapped under a boulder and had to amputate his own arm. Yeah.
I couldn't watch that because
Yeah, you didn't
people
even have to
told me
explain.
about that. Yeah, people told me about that scene and I was like, I don't think I could handle it.
Understandable.
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially when you know it's like it's real. So, you know, wow.
That's right. All right, so after Garber and Rico decide that they're not going to be questioning Nathaniel anymore, so he just slams the door on them because he goes, "Oh, nothing, fella. Our mistake."
Did you notice as well, when he shuts the door, this is just such a weird thing I noticed from going minute by minute. He bangs it into his book and his leg.
Did I?
Or it might be the
Oh,
arm
right.
of the
No,
chair rather than his leg.
it just it does it hits the chair a little bit. That's what it does.
Because it makes the book almost fall. It's great.
Yes.
It felt real though. I like that they left that in because that's like something I would do when you're a little bit annoyed. Like, oh, God damn it.
What doesn't make any sense is why didn't they ask even one question? Can you tell us
Exactly. This
where
is
you
my
were today?
point.
That's it. Just, and where were you? That's all I want to know.
Yeah. Just you want to cover all bases, you know?
That's right. Want to be able to not have to come back later and say, "Oh, damn, you know what? It was that guy, Nathaniel Muscat.
It's the best cover of all.
We should have asked him."
Yep.
All
He gets away. It could
right.
be like Kaiser Soze. He suddenly just he has a leg.
That's right. One of the he's sitting on his leg.
Yeah, he could be.
one of the the hostages says, "Oh yeah, there was one guy that guy was limping." Yeah. Oh,
See?
okay. Or he was hopping around. on the tree.
Any of these things could be true. I know you said it as a joke. He could be hiding his leg.
Yeah.
He could have planned this. This could be part of the plan.
He's like, oh crap, it's the transit police. All right, let's put that leg under me. You know,
Yeah.
type of
It could be a
thing.
special chair with a little pocket that you can put. Yeah, it could all be a plot, the whole thing.
It could. All right. So then, you know, we get a little bit of music, and the scene changes, and then we hear the radio, and you know, we see a car approaching a toll booth area, and we hear, according to a spokesman for the Transit Authority, he also noted that the subway car carrying the hostages was stopped at the South Ferry Loop by the automatic safety features built into the system, which are activated by any car traveling at excessive speeds as it enters the loop. So, first of all, I think it's great that they've now explained why the train stopped.
Yeah, I'll be honest, because this is my first viewing, obviously. When the train did just stop, I rewound it to be like, oh, did I miss something? You know, so I was glad that it then comes up.
Yes. And I like the way that they explain it to us in, you know, by listening to a news report. You know, it's not even as if it's telling us something, you know, directly. It's like, you know, you have to be paying attention to understand that that's what they're talking about. You
And
know,
I
it's
like it as well because, like, these characters would have no need to say that to each other because they know.
right.
You can maybe have the people on the train talking about it. That would be one way, but I like it. I like this more.
Okay. Makes sense. All right. And so the car then approaches the toll booth that it comes to, and you know, and then it stops. I love how the lane on the left-hand side is like fully packed, and the lane that they need to go to has one car, and that's it. Know, and it's also a good thing that they know you know, where they need to go. So they show up there, and we see the toll booth guy who reaches out his hand to get money, and Garber takes out his badge and goes, "Transit Authority." He goes, "You still gotta pay."
That right, this guy. He's so salty. He's so aggressive. And
Can you
normally
blame
I'd be
him?
like, well, yeah, I can. Because they're just there to ask him a question. You know, they're not accusing him of anything. They're
No,
there to just ask questions, you know.
we don't know what happened that caused him to no longer be working. You know, he was fired for cause. It wasn't the guy who just decided to quit. He did something wrong.
Well, yeah, that's So he's probably had a history of being like this anyway, or maybe of
Probably.
being an aggressive kind of guy. He's so rude to them, but I loved it. It was so funny. It made me laugh. And making them pay, it's like, oh,
And it's 50 cents.
that killed me as well, because, like, surely, you know, working for who they work for, you would think they had some sort of. You know, some way of getting through for free. And he's like, no.
No. Exactly. Especially since, you know, this is possibly, you know, the money's all going to the same place. So yeah, I don't know. But
Well,
so the
yeah, it is actually. That's true. You
Yeah.
consider it a donation.
Correct. So the actor who plays this character is his name is Hai Anzel, who was born in 1923 and passed away in 2003 at the age of 79. Again, I'm shocked that this guy is supposed to be 51 years old. he looks a hell of a lot older than I am. Yeah, I
Yeah, wow.
don't know.
It really blows my. I don't think we're being naive here and like being big-headed. I think people look a lot younger now. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. Is it because
It's all the preservatives
I
in
don't know, is it
the
because we
coffee.
it could be it's the microplastics in it could be like is it because we're mentally a little bit youthful still, like, you know, we stay younger longer, if that makes sense. Like, it's only a
Possibly.
couple of generations ago people like an adult wouldn't really have an interest in movies. You know, it's like, oh no, I've got more important things to do.
Well, I can't see this guy doing a movies by minute podcast.
Exactly, right? That so I think it might be stuff like that. You know, like and like adults now, you know, we play video games and things. It's like that's incomprehensible even to my own dad. You know?
Interesting. Okay. I can buy that.
So I think it has positives and negatives, of course, but I think maybe it manifests physically. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a very good question. So they say his name is Latimer. So where do you think the name Latimer comes from? And what does it mean?
Latimer. I don't know. I mean, I always thought it had a kind of maybe like a German kind of background to it, maybe.
It's actually French
Oh,
that came from
okay.
Latin, and it means interpreter.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes
So
sense.
he's interpreting to them, you know, you can just imagine him giving them the finger. You know, I don't know why he didn't do that.
That would have actually been great. And what an Easter egg it would have been for the name.
That's right. Exactly. So again, it was
Fantastic.
the name, as we all know, many last names were occupational. So it referred to a skilled position in medieval times where it was someone who you know, was dealing with interpreting official documents used for communication and stuff like that.
I do like the way that's how those names came about, like surnames, because, you know, it'd be like, I don't know, if I was Latimer, it'd be like, oh, John the Latimer,
Exactly.
essentially, is what it.
That's right. There you go.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? And then they just went, oh, well, you know, we kind of need to differentiate between people a little bit more. They take that on as an official part of your name. You know,
That's
what
right.
happened if you changed jobs?
Yeah, that's right. You're no longer Latimer. You are now the baker.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I guess that's what happened. Yeah.
it would be John the Baker. And
John the Baker.
it wouldn't be till years later that they would actually take that on as a surname. So, yeah, I don't know.
It's interesting when you find out that.
Yeah.
That's why, like, you know, like a lot of figures in like medieval history and things, when you read up about them, a lot of the time they haven't got a surname mentioned because there's no point in mentioning it to them. You know, it's like, oh well, you know, you don't need to know
Because
that.
you know that that guy's the barber, so therefore his last name is Barber. You know,
Yeah, it'll be Ethelred. That's all you need to know. That's his name. Ethelred. He's a barber.
there you go, exactly. And so Garber then says to him, "Your name Latimer?" And he goes, "What about it? Just answer the question, would you please, fella?" He goes, "Look, I don't work for you guys anymore. You don't get anything from me."
Again, to me, right? And I don't want to be all pro cop or whatever, but they should instantly be like, "Hey, hang on a minute! No! You can't say that. Like, that's suspicious, right there."
That's right.
He's avoiding answering questions, very important questions about a case.
Well, first I'm just asking him his name and that he's not willing to give it.
Yeah.
Can you account for your whereabouts today, Mr. Latimer? He goes, "Are you trying to connect me to that hijacking?" Forget it. I've been here since 2:30 this afternoon.
I mean, yeah, fair enough. He probably has been. I don't think he is lying, but just he could have just told them that to begin with. Said his name. Oh no, I've been here. Okay, fine.
That's right.
Like, that's it.
So the Easter egg that I planted yesterday about that we're going to find out something that about Ben Stiller and Jerry Stiller later this week is actually right now. Apparently Ben Stiller was in the back seat of this car when they were filming the scene.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yes, he I guess it was take your son to work day that day.
Oh, that's nuts. Oh my God.
Yes.
As well, because it just seems like such a different. Like, obviously, we know Ben Stiller's age, but this just looks like such a different era to anything that has anything to do with him.
True.
I just, putting those things together is
But
bizarre.
again, how old was he at the time? He was 10.
Yeah, but even so, I don't know, it just seems like a different world.
Well, again, that's why he's in the back seat.
Yeah.
If they wanted him to be, it would be funny if we saw him in the shot. Okay,
That
he
would
was
have been
born in
great.
65. He was 9 when this movie came out, so therefore he must have been even earlier,
Yeah.
younger when they filmed it.
Probably 8 then, yeah, when they filmed it.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, they could have shown him. It wouldn't have broke like the story. It could have been yeah, he's got to look after the kid. So he's got to just take him along with them.
Right. He's coming along with while we go question all these 9 suspects.
Yeah, I'm sure that's perfectly legal.
Yeah, of course. Of course. But yeah, I love that piece of, because that's a piece of trivia that you'll never find out in a normal way. The fact that
Yeah.
Ben Stiller talks about it in the documentary is the only place where you find it out.
Yeah, that's wow. That's nuts.
Yes, exactly. And
Maybe it's what got him want to act, you know. He was in a scene almost.
he wanted to act because his parents were actors. That's again, when you watch the documentary, again, for anyone who didn't hear what we were talking about yesterday, so there is a new documentary that recently came out that Ben Stiller actually directed, and it's about the life of his parents, and it's called Stiller and Meira, Nothing Is Lost. So we talked a little bit about it yesterday, and today it's now come to fruition that we've learned that Ben Stiller was in the back seat of this car.
Incredible.
Yes. And as Latimer just shrugs him off, that's how this minute ends. So did you have anything else you wanted to discuss about this minute?
No, I think we hit all the key points.
All right, excellent. So every Friday we have a segment called Fun City Friday, where my guests will give their top 5 movies that take place in New York City. So why don't you start with your number 5 and work your way up?
Number 5 then. Ooh, it's tough to know how to rank them, because there's so many more than I thought there was going to be, because New York is often, I know it's very cheesy to say this, but it's often portrayed as a character, isn't it? It's one of the only things I know a lot about when it comes to America. I don't know a lot about the USA, but I know a lot about New York for some reason.
Yeah, because
It's
you
because of
watch
all these
movies.
films. Yeah, and I'm gonna pick one for 5 that might be a little bit controversial in a way. You'll know as soon as I say. Basically, I really like the movie Manhattan.
Okay.
Obviously, a little bit. We don't talk a lot about Woody Allen anymore for various reasons. But it's a great film. I really, really like that. I thought that was his best movie, personally. I liked it more than the others. It's hard to recommend it to people now, I suppose, if you've not already watched it, because you might find him a bit tainted. But it's a great film. It really is good. So if you can try and watch it if you haven't already, yeah, I'd say go with that one. Number 4, I'm gonna pick. I've put this like low on my list of 5, not because it's a bad movie. I love it. It's just that it's not. New York isn't as much of a character in it. That's the thing. But I'm obsessed with the movie Black Swan, and that's set there too. I think that's such a great. It's almost like David Lynch or something. It's Darren Aronofsky. Actually, here's me saying it's not so much about New York, but I suppose the world that she inhabits in that, that the whole dancing scene and culture, that is quite New York specific, actually. So no, I actually retract that. It is a very New York movie. It's not going to be for everyone, of course. It's a like a weird art movie,
Yeah,
but you don't
I'm
have to
not a
be.
fan of it, but I'm not a fan of any of Darren Aronofsky's movies except for The Wrestler. The Wrestler, I think, is amazing.
It is amazing, but I can see why, if you don't like him, you like that one though, because it's the least like the others.
Exactly.
Whereas I love his movies, right? I love all of them, but I know for a fact they won't appeal to everybody. They're very strange. And sometimes that's good, and sometimes that's not so good for people. I like The Fountain, the weird, trippy Buddhist movie about
Oh my God,
space and
I hated
time.
that. Oh my God.
See, yeah, it's hard to recommend his movies. I think Black Swan's like a middle ground between his completely crazy bonkers ones and a normal film. I think some people who just want a normal movie might still enjoy it. Number three. Oh, let's see, what do I go number three? Let's see. Yeah, number three. It's got New York in the title. It's Escape from New York. I absolutely adore John Carpenter movies as well, and this is a top tier. Well, I say it's a top tier. Well, most of them are top tier. It's fantastic. It's like cheesy, but I mean that in a positive way. It's like ridiculous in the best sense, you know. And the sequel wasn't as good. That was a bit too that took the silliness to a too much, you know. It went a step too far. That was Escape from LA. And apparently the rumor was that Ghosts of Mars was originally going to be Escape from Mars.
Oh, really?
But I don't know if that's true. I heard that recently and I was like, what? That's absurd. But Escape from New York is, that's top tier John Carpenter. That's amazing. Kurt Russell's incredible in it. Right, number two, I'm gonna go with I'm gonna say Die Hard with a Vengeance. I'm a big Die Hard fan, and that to me, that's the second best one. It's almost as good. I think I might have said on podcast, you know, it might be as good as the first one. They might be tied for me. I'm not sure.
I wouldn't go that far, but okay.
It's almost though, right? You agree? Almost.
Exactly.
It's up there, right? It's so good. And what a cool way to take the series, because I like two a lot, but you can't do that again. If you did that a third time, it would have just destroyed the whole thing. And I think this is such a great way to rejuvenate it by stealing another script, essentially. And it worked. It worked. And again, the city is quite a character in it. You know, well, they're driving all over the city, so it's quite a big part
That's true.
of the film. And the one at number one, the one that got me to see New York in that sense, and to view it as this sort of a living, like the concrete is alive almost. I'm going with Ghostbusters, because as a kid, I love that movie anyway, but that movie showed me and taught me all about New York. And I'm sure it's fictionalized and silly, you know. It's one of those movies that portrays New York, oh, it's the worst place in the world, you know. But it was so cool and like alien to me and strange. Oh, look at this weird foreign place. And I'm just obsessed with that movie in general. I love that movie to this day. It's one of those, this is another example of staying young, I suppose. I saw that movie when I was a child, and I still watch it now. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should grow up and move on, but I haven't. I watch it like at least once a year. I'm obsessed. I recorded the movie, like I played it, and then I put my boombox in front of the TV, and I recorded the film onto a cassette so I could ride around on my bike and listen to the film.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's how obsessed I was with it.
That's
And
dedication. Dedication.
absolutely. And I've got a Slimer costume somewhere in the house that I've worn to a party before at Niall's house. I went as Slimer.
Did you slime anyone?
I think I might have done. I think I might have took like a little pot of slime that I slapped around, if I remember rightly. I need to dig that back out. That needs a rewear. It's been over a decade. But yeah,
Exactly.
what a movie, what a film. It appeals to everyone as well. Kids, adults, everyone's got something to get out of that.
Yeah, for sure. All right, excellent. That is a great list. So now we will play the daily game of Name That Remake. So let's spin the wheel and see what John gets this time. And around and around and around the wheel goes. Where it's gonna stop, nobody knows. Okay. So the original movie came out in 1981, and the remake came out in 2011. All right, and this is about a rich man who falls in love with a poorer woman and will lose his fortune if he marries her like he wants to.
Oh, when was the original made again, you said?
1981, and the remake was in 2011.
81. Wow, okay, this is harder than the last one. Have you got any other clues?
Well, the main clue will give it away. Okay, in the original movie, John Gielgud actually won an Oscar for the role that he played as the butler. How's that? There, I'm going to give you that one too.
Nothing's jumping to mind.
Okay, the
Ooh.
original movie also won an Oscar for Best Original Song, that was sung by Christopher Cross.
Hang on, that sounds really
And
familiar now. Let
the
me.
name of the song is Best That You Can Do.
Oh, wait. Hang on. No. I'm really racking my brain. I'll get it. Is. Ah, wait. Wait, I've got it. Is it that remake they did that I've never seen of Arthur, where they've got what's his
Arthur,
face
yeah.
in it?
It's Arthur, yes.
Yes, and they've got is it Russell Brand?
Yes.
Yay, I remember that coming out and I instantly was like, I'm not watching that.
And
Absolutely not.
I can understand that.
Yeah, it's well, both, I get a little bit annoyed at remakes, like a lot of people. So that there was that, and also, even by that point, Russell Brand over here, it's like people were sick of him. He'd worn out his welcome.
Correct.
That's probably why he was doing movies, because like, well, we can market him to America now. That'll bring in some money. English people don't want him.
Well, he still made money, so
Well, yeah, seemingly.
exactly. All right, excellent. Thank you very much for that. So why don't you once again tell people where they can find John Park?
Yes, you can find me by checking out my podcasts. We've got Bat Minute, Miami Minutes. I've got one about the musical Hedwig and the Angry Inch. That's called Hedwig Inch by Angry Inch. And why not give the band I'm part of a listen? They're called Pete Bentham and the Dinner Ladies.
All right, and finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. So, everyone, we will be back tomorrow for a special Saturday show as we make it through the weekend in order to finish by the end of next weekend.
Woo.
So, until tomorrow, achoo.
Gesundheit.